exited the building. There's a statement I seen just recently. My nephew posted on the internet, and it come from probably a T.D. Jakes or someone like that. It goes like this: as you walk with God during difficult and sometimes confusing seasons, know that God will see you through. He will see you through your doubts until He resurrects your hope to see the fulfillment of your promise. That's what we're going to start this out with today. I was going to preach a sermon about worship and why we worship, but I've kind of got redirected, and I hope it's by the Holy Spirit. If not, hopefully we can salvage something out of it anyhow. But go to 2 Chronicles with me, if you would, the 20th chapter. How many of you have been walking through some difficult seasons in your life? Just almost everyone here can say that, and many of you, several of you, raised your hands. We all go through difficult seasons and difficult times, and times when we don't know what we're going to do. And that's why I was so blessed this morning by the beginning song, just talking about celebrating in the presence of the Lord. Even when you're down, ladies and gentlemen, you need to celebrate in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to try to show you a reason for that and bring some application, if I can at all, to this scripture in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. We know that Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. That things had been going pretty good for him, and he had set forth some reforms in the country, and he was doing his best to lead the children of the Judah, that tribe, that portion of the kingdom, to follow God. And of course, he was a contemporary with Ahab, and Ahab was a very rebellious king that did a lot of things he shouldn't do. But Jehoshaphat was trying to do what God commanded him to do, and do things that God would bless. And so, in reference to that, I think there's a lot of you today that, although there's a world around us that absolutely hates God, you know they do, and is pulling at you and storming towards you, sometimes trying to overtake you, overcome you, destroy you. And the devil and his crowd, that's what he wants to do. He absolutely wants to destroy the children of God. You need to understand that. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're sojourners in this land, and we're passing through. Although we are part of the kingdom of God that's here for a season, for a time, to build God's kingdom and do our best to prepare ourselves and others for the return of Jesus, we're here right now living and oftentimes struggling to live for God. Correct? Would you agree with me? Sometimes it's a struggle. It's a battlefield. And it seems like the enemy is more than we are. Seems like there's more against you than there are for you. Now, I can just throw in a phrase right here. If God be for you, who can be against you? But although we stand on different scriptures and promises in the Word of God, and that one there, when things go wrong and seems like you're overwhelmed, you can say that, but sometimes it's hard to believe it. You're walking by faith, not by sight, and you're going to say, if God be for me, who can be against me? But really, you're having difficulty in the flesh believing that, because the odds are so overwhelming and the enemy is mounting up an attack, and you see it and know it, feel it, you know what's going to happen, and you're wondering, what will I do? Well, let's read some scripture, and then we're going to see some things here, hopefully. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. What do we see here? How many of you feel like the enemy's coming? Jehoshaphat got word from his scouts that the enemy is coming. They came from a long way off, but they're coming. And they're not coming by themselves. They have gathered an army, an allegiance, an alliance of many factions to come against you, to come against the kingdom of Judah. They're going to do what they can to destroy you, Jehoshaphat, and destroy our country, and take our women and our children captive, and take our goods with them. And they're going to come if they can and occupy our territory and make us slaves. So we don't say that, Pastor. That's what they did back then. They're coming to destroy us. They're going to take away our way of life. Do you feel that way sometime? That Satan's coming against you? That the world is just against you? And they're coming to take away your way of life. They're coming to destroy everything that's near and dear to you. You know, your health is failing. Your relationships are falling apart. You've lost your job. Your finances have just went to the, you know, just nothing, not enough to go around, not enough money at the end of the month. And things are just not right. Well, I want to tell you something. There's still hope. And what did Jehoshaphat do? When he got the word, the first thing he did was, well, we're going to pray. And we're going to fast. And we're going to seek God. We don't see an answer, but we know the answer is on the way. We don't understand where our help's coming from, but we know our help is coming from the Lord. We may not know what direction He's going to come after us or come to our aid. We don't know what direction or how He's actually going to take care of us, but we know that our help's in the Lord, and we're going to call on Him. So it says that He set Himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. What did they do? They had a citywide, a countywide, a statewide, a countrywide fast. It wasn't just a few people gathering together to intercede on behalf of everybody. Everybody got together and they began to seek God and fast their food and give up the luxuries of life for a season so that they might see God do something that would preserve them for a lifetime. Do you understand what I just said? We've got to sometimes give up some things for a season so that God might preserve us for a lifetime. Sometimes we've got to sacrifice so that we might see God do something for us that will last us not only our lifetime, but it will be passed down from generation to generation. You'll see your children serve God because of the great thing that God, the great deliverance that God gave you. You'll see your grandchildren serve God because God came on the scene when you proclaimed a fast and you gave up some things so that God might do what you needed Him to do. We've got to learn to do this. So they begin to fast. Then they have a great assembly. Can you imagine how many people must have been there? Maybe they'd sent some representatives from every country, every town, every village, and maybe the heads of the house had came. I don't know exactly, but there was a lot of people there. Probably the whole country didn't come, but a representation of the whole country was there. They came to fast and seek God. Then Jehoshaphat, verse 5, it says, he stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Where was he at? Where did he run to? He went to church. He went to where they knew that God would visit them. He didn't lay out because this thing's a happening. He didn't stay home. He didn't just go to work. He didn't just give up. He says, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord, and we're going to go there and seek God together. And then the Bible says here he stood up. He stood up. We've got some praise. He stood up in the assembly and said, "Our Lord God," and he began to pray this to God. Now listen to this. This is a picture of what we maybe need to do. You might say, well, he was challenging God and he was kind of making some statements that might be perceived by God to be a little bit rebellious in nature, a little bit challenging to God in nature. But all he was doing was beginning to rehearse what God had promised them from years past and how God had blessed them before. He said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven?" Listen to that. Are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? In your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? He begins to question God. He's doing it in a good way though. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? He begins to tell God who God is and reminding God, "God, this is who you are to us. You're our God. You drove out our enemies. We serve you. Are you not God? Are you still not the God of everything?" Folks, how many times instead of doing that, what do? "Oh, woe is me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I'm going to make it this time. I think I might just ought to quit. What's the point of serving God? What's the point of trying all this? Everything's going bad for me." No, church, we just need to come back to our prayer closet and get up and look God square in the eye as best you can, you know, spiritually and say, "God, are you not God? Are you not the God that saved me? Are you not the God that delivered me? Are you not the God that has healed me? Are you not the God that has supplied all of my needs? Are you not God still, even though I'm facing this enemy, even though I'm facing this trial, even though there's a tribulation all around me? Are you not still God?" He's still God. Just there just to make me feel good. Then he says, and Abraham your friend forever, and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, "If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." So we built this place so that we can worship you. We built this place so that you will have a dwelling place. We built this place so we can meet you here. We built this place in honor of you. And God, we're here today. And are you not still God of this temple? Are you not still the God that when Solomon dedicated this temple, that your glory came down? Are you not still God? I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your situation, but I know that God's here today to meet the need and meet you right at your situation. He says, "If disaster comes upon us," how many give up when disaster comes? It looks like everything's going to go the wrong direction. We just kind of want to give up. These folks didn't give up. Jehoshaphat went to the house of God and he says, we swore to your name and we're dwelling here in this sanctuary for your name. And we know if disaster comes upon us, no matter what the peril, if it's sword or if it's judgment or if it's pestilence or it's famine or it's family problems or monetary problems or spiritual problems or health issues, God, we know that you're still God and you still meet us here, and we'll stand in your temple. We'll stand before your presence. We'll cry out in this affliction, and we know that you will hear us. That's what he said. We're going to cry out in our affliction, and we know you will hear us because you are God. And you're not just God, you are our God. You're my God. And in my God I trust. Amen. Then he goes on. And now he presents, he says, this is who you are, God, and this is who you are to us, and we know we can stand in your temple and in your presence, and you're gonna hear us. And he says, now Lord, there's some people. Lord, there's some enemies coming. They're aiming. I don't know how you say something. Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to us to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Well, there's a sermon right there. There's some things in your life you need to throw out. You need to destroy. And if you don't destroy them when you have the opportunity, they will turn around and they will come after your spirituality. They'll come after your life in Christ. They'll do everything they can. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, if you don't get them under the blood of Jesus, they will turn around and rend you like a wild hog. They'll come back on you one of these days. You need to understand that. They'll come on you like a pack of dogs. They're going to come after you one of these days. But Bible says they didn't drive them out when they had the opportunity. Maybe God didn't let them, still yet they turned on them, and they are rewarding them by trying to come after them. And he goes on to say, God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, with their wives and their children stood before the Lord. What's happening? We have things that come against us, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what your problem is today. And I don't know what the enemy is that's coming after you to crush you today. But I know this, that no matter what it is, that God will judge them. And God has power against that multitude that's coming against you. It may seem overwhelming to you, but he's still God. And he still has power to walk. He gives us power to tread upon serpents. He gives us power to drink deadly things. He gives us power to cast out demons. And here we are worrying about this throng, this multitude coming against us. He's still God, and he will judge them. And although we seem overwhelmed, and although it seems we have no power, God's not caught by surprise, nor is God limited in his power, nor will God turn his back on you if you'll trust him. Going to have to learn to trust him. But as he was praying, apparently they were down. And then all of a sudden it says they all stood up. Why in the world would they stand up? Because I believe that they begin to worship the Lord. They is catching hold of what Jehoshaphat the king was saying. This is our, we're serving God. Why are we cast down? Why is our souls real disturbed within us today? Why are we worried about this situation? If God's God, then God's going to take care of it. And if God's really God, then God's going to destroy our enemies. And if God's still God, he's going to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And if God's God, God, he's going to bring healing when the doctors can't bring healing. And if God's God, he's going to provide finance where there doesn't seem to be any finance. And if God's God, he'll give you a job when you need a job. I believe God's going to take care of some of these obstacles if we'll just believe that he is God and we'll not just trust him. We will serve him with all of our hearts. He's God. The Bible says then that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet, a priest. It came upon him, the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't it great when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move? Woo! It's good. When the Spirit of God begins to move and you know it's God in the house. And this man stood up because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he said, listen, listen, all of you, all of Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. And there's an exclamation point in my Bible. And in other words, he said, listen, everybody, listen. God's got something to say. Pay attention. And King, you pay attention. You prayed. You set forth a mandate to God. Now here's God's answer. And here's what God said. Thus saith the Lord. Do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. That is shouting ground. If I ever heard shouting ground, the prophet of the Spirit of the Lord came upon that man. And he says, you guys just need to settle down and hear what God's going to say. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Don't be dismayed by the everything that's going on around you. Don't be dismayed by all the swords and the spears. Don't be dismayed by the trumpet sounding the battle cry. This battle's not yours, it's the Lord. Don't worry about how many of them's coming against you. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. And if it's the Lord's battle, he's going to go down and he's going to fight with them, and you will be victorious. It tells them that he says, I want you to go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jehoram. You will not need to fight in this battle. How do you like that? Here you are wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to overcome this? And the Lord's saying to you today, I don't know who he's talking to in this house, but he's talking to somebody if you'll just grab hold of it. If you'll just get your spiritual ears open, he's telling you, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord. And he's saying, you will not have to fight this battle. The battle, he says, position yourself. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Position yourself. Get ready for the battle. Get your prayer clothes on. Continue fighting it on your knees. Get ready, church. God's going to fight the battle. Get ready. The victory's on the way. You don't know. You don't see it yet. But if you'll trust God, if you'll put your faith in God, if you'll just do what God says, position yourself. Get ready. Stand still. And you're going to see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. This old world doesn't have the Lord with them. Some of your enemies that come against you. Now, we don't have people threatening our lives like they do in some foreign lands. We don't have some of those things that we have to face, and when they tell you to give up your salvation or give up your religion, or they're going to whack your head off, or they're going to kill you or imprison you. We don't face that here. But we face spiritual battles and spiritual giants that sometimes are just as insurmountable or seem as insurmountable as in some of the other physical things that we might face. But I'm telling you today, no matter what the battle is, whether it's health issues or whatever the issue might be today, don't be dismayed. Go on out against this thing, declaring the word of the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 18 that Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What did they do? First off, they understood they needed to approach the Lord, and they get the word, and then they had the word of the Lord, and then they begin to worship the Lord. And don't you understand today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to see this victory through, when God tells you it's going to happen, don't stop there. Then get your worship shoes off. Put your worship clothes on. Get your hands in the air. Make your heart glad in Jesus Christ, because the victory's not yours, it's the Lord. Now begin to worship him for the victory and thank him for it. It's yours. He bowed down. They began to worship the Lord. Then it says, the Levites and the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. They didn't patty cake around about it. They didn't worry who it might offend. They weren't concerned about what it might look like. They stood up then and they began to say, great is the Lord. His mercy endureth forever and ever. They stood up. They began to praise him loud and high. They weren't worried about, they weren't Pentecostals. They just Israelites. They didn't worry about who hurt them. They didn't care what it looked like. They knew the victory was on the way. They didn't see the promise yet, but they had heard the promise was coming. They didn't have a victory yet. The throng was all around them. They were encamped against them. They were getting ready to charge. They were getting ready to fight them. And they didn't have a victory yet, but they began to praise God for the victory. The Bible says they rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." God has spoken it. You need to believe it and take hold of it. Apply it to your lives. Begin to praise God and thank God that the victory's on the way. And you know what? It'll happen. Don't give up on the brink of your miracle. Believe in the Lord and your God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." They hadn't seen the victory yet. They were going to march to the battle. They didn't know what God was going to do, but they believed God to give them victory. They didn't know how many soldiers they might lose in the battle, but they knew they would be victorious. They didn't know how many wounded they'd have to cart home, but they knew they would end up being winners. They didn't worry about the ones that would be maimed in this battle. They just knew that God promised victory. So they were going to go and obtain their victory. But before they went to obtain their victory, they appointed singers and people to praise the Lord. And they began to sing, "Great is the Lord," and "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever." What happened? What happened? You see, you quit singing in the right before the miracle. They said they began to sing. You think, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen." What happens? I don't care what Satan, what the enemy brings against you that says the Spirit of the Lord bring up, raise up a standard. I don't care, you know, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper," is what the word says. But what happened? God set ambushes as they begin to praise the Lord. And when you begin to praise the Lord, when you begin to just give God the praise and the glory that's due his name and trust him and take him at his word, he'll set up ambushes on old Satan. He'll make sure that the victory's yours. He'll make sure that you have what he's promised you. He'll make sure that you come out on top. And they begin to sing, "Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever." And as they begin to sing, the Lord set up ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who came against Jerusalem, and they were defeated. It didn't say the children of Israel took a sword and a spear and a shield and ran after them. It said that God set up ambushes. God fought the battle. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, victory shall be mine. So God began to set up ambushes. The people stood up. The enemy, the invading army, stood up and began to kill each other. Similar to when Gideon had to fight a battle. And he broke the lanterns and blew the trumpets. And the victory was theirs because they become confused. God fought the battle. And when they made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They destroyed one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the ground, and no one had escaped. What's the application, Pastor? When God sets an ambush up towards those that are coming against you, when Satan's come against you and he's doing his best to destroy you and God comes against him, he don't walk away unscathed. God's going to make sure that you come across, you come out victorious. Oftentimes you'll come out it without a scar. You won't have any bad, you won't hardly have, you will not have a battle injury. You'll come out it unscathed because God was in it. Because you trusted God. They come to that place and they found him. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, jewelry, more than they could carry away. 3 days they were gathering it. And on the fourth day they gathered and they blessed the Lord. And they called it the Valley of Berachah until this day. Then they returned. And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Do you understand what I've been trying to tell you today? The victory's not yours, it's God's. I don't care what you're facing today. Trust God and begin to praise God and worship God and live for God and serve God. And God will be your shield. God will be your buckler. God will set up ambushments upon your enemies. They'll come against you. They'll do what they can to destroy you. The enemy of your soul will do what he can to get into your mind. He'll do what he can to destroy you spiritually. He'll even do what he can to destroy your health. He'll do whatever he has to do to try to get you to turn on God. But if you'll follow these guidelines, and you'll seek God and worship God, and trust God, you will be victorious.